And Lord, we just pray for your spirit to soften our hearts, that in sophisticated, capable 2022, nonetheless, we would be yielded to a word thousands of years old that the Spirit of God chooses to take a hold of. And I pray, Lord, for that spontaneous combustion this morning of word and spirit coming together and doing amazing things among us. So bring us alive this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Good to be here. Are you pleased to be here?
Yes.
Just check in on one or two people. Don't have to say yes. Nice if you do. So, but if you've been following, and maybe particularly if you haven't, we are doing a series at the moment called Bless the World. And basically, it's based kind of around a book here, but it's not techniques. It's encouraging us, those of us who are Christians, to live an outward-looking, we might call it missional lifestyle, a discipleship, following Jesus where it's outward-looking. Is that the PowerPoint you've got, Anthony? I'm pretty sure that's last week's. As everyone here will have noticed, the last time I preached, 5 weeks ago, everyone thought to themselves, I'm sure he's preached that one before, because it was all taken stock of. Anyway, back to what we're doing. And I just want to say what that is. So if you're visiting us, you might not call yourself a Christian, maybe you're watching in line. This isn't a bunch of Christians gearing up to pounce on you evangelistically. All right, that's not what we're about. Not many of us are brave enough to do that, to be frank, but that's not what we want to do. What this is about is it's a fundamental belief that as Christians, we know a God who is good, who's been kind to us. We've just sung about, I will live in the goodness of God. I shudder to think where I'd be were it not for the goodness of God to me and my family. Today, there's some of us here who've recently lost loved ones. We shudder to think where we'd be if we did not have a hope through death. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory over death in Jesus Christ. And your faith gets found out in times like this. We think all of that is good news. The gospel, it basically means good news. And we think we've got good news over sickness. We've been praying for a young mum, Charlotte, who was in intensive care. And she's out of intensive care now. And we've prayed for her and she's out. I mean, these things are not coincidences. So that's good news. And we just believe we're called to, but why wouldn't we want to share that? So that's what this series is about. And we come now to the last sermon in the series. I know. Yeah. We had one or two hours there. Well, one, basically. And what's happened here is this. The last series, I know what's happened. The people putting the preaching series together thought, this needs to be the crescendo. Okay, so we are going to wheel out the lead pastor to regale us with stories of encountering people who don't know Jesus, of walking into cafes, and those he walks past start weeping and crying out, what must I do to be saved? Of encountering people and just getting into conversations where they just want to talk about Jesus, where it seems that everyone, I'm the lead pastor, by the way, just in case you don't know, This is what's called irony, okay? Because let me tell you, that does not happen to me. And it probably doesn't happen to you. So that's not what this is about. I would love to stand up here this morning and say, much like Karen did with her Bible birds. You remember her Bible birds last week? The group I have going, God's Guys, are all, you know, we're just kind of connecting over the Bible and talking about Jesus. But I confess, it's not happening. But I'm committed to this. I'm at the outset, personally, of a journey, and I'm going to have a go. I think I've resolved. I'm going to have a go. I'm going to have a go to share this good news in a way that I have not done previously. I need to be outward looking. There are people around me who need to know about Jesus. So this morning we're looking at ordering your life well. So the PowerPoint's not there. Okay, that is a slight hindrance because apart from anything else, the Bible verses are on it. You can grab my phone out of my bag there. Okay, we'll just work with this gremlin. I don't know where that's going to leave us actually because I've got the PowerPoint on here. I could keep holding it up, my tablet. Thank you very much, Abby. So we're going to look at ordering your life well. We're going to be in Psalm 84. Actually, it'd be great if we could pass around some Bibles then. So if you need a Bible, if you want to get your phone out, etc., Psalm 84. Okay. And we're going to be looking at ordering our lives well. How do we make space for relationships, to connect with people, to share our faith? Now, like I say, I can't give you a how-to here because I am just starting out on this myself. I haven't worked it out at all. But what I do want to share, perhaps, are some important priorities we may have, okay? What priorities could we put in place? You see, I'm sure many of us in this room would say we are busy people. And the question then comes, what are we orientating our lives around? If we're busy, are we busy about the right things? All of us have choices about how to do family, how we do family, how we do work. What looking for the material looks like for us, the material things of life. What place do the material things have in our lives? And how do we do relationships? So all of us have to work these things out, don't we? And we make choices daily about how we're going to do those things. So how does our lives as believers called to bless the world fit within that? What does that look like for us? And to be honest, I was a little bit surprised. I did feel the Lord lay this psalm on my heart, Psalm 84, as our text this morning. We come to the Bible, we believe it is God's living word, and we think we can trust it. And that's why we kind of look at it. And I would have got us to read this together, but given that we're probably all reading from different versions, it may be a bit complicated. But anyway, this is what it says. Psalm 84. And as we read this, I just want to encourage you. Oh, well done. We can do that. Well done, Anthony. We can read it together. So as we read this together, I just want us to do an authenticity check. And as we read this, just ask the Spirit to show us, is this really my heart? Is this really my heart? So it says this. Let's read this out loud together. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength, till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. So there's quite a few references there to blessing. So blessing is a theme of this psalm. But I think it speaks to healthy priorities for us around which we can orientate our lives. So let's have a look at this. Firstly then, the psalm teaches how to position ourselves for blessing. How to position ourselves for blessing. In verses 1 to 4, I don't know whether you can get those up again, Anthony. The psalmist understands the importance, listen to this, of a vital, living, fresh relationship with God. Let me say that again. The psalmist understands the importance for us of a vital living relationship, if you like, with Jesus. A relationship of intimacy, where God's presence is felt, where God speaks. So let me ask you, friend, brother, sister, is God alive to you? Is that how you'd characterize your relationship with Jesus? Or has your relationship with Jesus, has my relationship with Jesus become a cultural thing where my Christian faith is cultural? I don't mean in wider culture. I mean the culture of what I do in my life. You know, it's a Sunday thing. I come along on a Sunday. Maybe I go midweek. I carry out certain activities. So it's a cultural, social thing. You see, one of the things I think may have happened in COVID is this, that some people realized their Christianity was a cultural, social thing, and actually they felt they could do without it. I don't think if our relationship with Jesus is vital and alive that we think we can do without it. I don't think that'll happen in the same way. And the psalmist here remembers the courts of the Lord, the altar, and there's this yearning. The word means he grows pale. He's weak from yearning for God's presence. He faints for the presence of God. He's consumed, the word means. And everything in him cries out for the living God. We could have read there Psalm 42, you know the one, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you. That too is a psalm of the sons of Korah, as this one is, Psalm 84. So it may well have been written by the same people or persons in the same situation. Some think it could have been the sons of Korah were with David fleeing Absalom. They were away from the temple courts, out of Jerusalem, and they were looking back and longing for God's presence. It's why they pray at the end there for God's protection of the anointed one, meaning King David. It may have been David. It could have been another context. I just wonder, though, in preparing and praying through this morning, I wonder whether some of us have been like that. We have yearned for the courts of the Lord, for God's presence. We have cried out, and frankly, we've been disappointed. I think I know something of that. I know my greatest longing, honestly, I think before the Lord, I can say my greatest longing is for more of his presence. And I know there have been times I've been disappointed. And the danger is, of course, that we actually become cynical. So we need to guard against that. Keep pursuing. I think there's a word for you this morning. If you've grown disappointed, you know there were times you used to be a keen Christian. And that's kind of dissipated a bit, maybe. Maybe there's a bit of weariness crept in. Keep pursuing is the encouragement to you this morning. So is this our experience? Is our life oriented around our relationship with Jesus? Just ask yourself honestly that now. Is my life oriented around that vital relationship with Jesus? Now, I know there'll be other things going on. Some things are really important. The World Cup football's coming up soon. Important things are coming up. But is my relationship oriented around Jesus? It's a good question to ask. It really is. Because I don't think we'll want to bless the world unless our relationship with Jesus is vital. Because what are we blessing the world with? I would have quoted C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis says, essentially a quote here, that we proclaim what gives us joy. And actually, in the proclamation, there's fulfillment of the joy. When we enjoy someone or something, we want people to know. You come across a good restaurant, read a good book, watch a good movie. You want to share that with people. You proclaim what you enjoy. People in our lives, our children, our grandchildren. Ian Bruce has been known to proclaim his grandchildren. Why? Because he enjoys them. He loves them. And here's the thing. There's something about, actually, the proclamation completes our joy, is what C.S. Lewis argues. It's not just something we want to do. It actually kind of completes it. It's like they've heard now. They've heard how great my children are, grandchildren, this movie is, whatever. Again, if Jesus is not a joy to us, if Jesus, I'm not talking about how good our church is and whether we're enjoying church or life group or certain Christian friends. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if Jesus isn't a joy to us, we won't proclaim him. So we need to cultivate our vital relationship with Jesus. And I don't think, unless we're enjoying God, I don't think we'll want to proclaim him. But here's a rider to that. Whilst I don't think that we will share Jesus without a loving relationship with him, love for Jesus alone may not be enough. Having a vital relationship with Jesus alone may not be enough. Some would argue, wouldn't they, as long as, you know, we just cultivate our relationship with Jesus, inevitably we'll share our faith. I'm not sure that's the case. And I think, to be frank, I think I work reasonably hard at cultivating my relationship with Jesus. I try to have a devotional time every day. I try to read scripture. I try to pray. I try to just be in God's presence. So I try to cultivate that. I don't share my faith. I haven't shared my faith historically. I'm not saying I never share my faith. I'm just saying it's not part of my lifestyle. I don't know what you're like. Maybe you're different to that. So here's the thing, and here's a word I think is key for us as believers in this. We need to be intentional about blessing. I don't just mean this course. I mean sharing our faith. We will need to be intentional, cultivate the loving relationship, but we will need to step into. It's why we need to learn habits, good habits. And that's what this series, and we've been looking at in life groups, is about. It's about our prayer life, starting to pray for the people we love and care for, listening to them, I'll say a bit more about that, eating with them, etc., etc., so that these things become habits. They're just what we do. We become intentional about it because they're what we do. And I thought it was a good illustration, Erica with her thumb, you know, she's had to learn to kind of use her thumb again. But any new experience, anything we want to imbibe in our life, chances are we've got to work at it initially. Any sport we want to learn, any kind of craft we want to do, chances are you've got to learn things that at first are awkward. It's awkward. But as time goes on, it becomes natural. And that's what we want. We want to be naturally sharing. We want these things to become natural to us. Can I just say, as a little aside, I mean, you will all know this. I don't think we can say, well, it's all well and good wanting to share our faith, but we need to love each other first. I agree we need to love each other. I agree we need to love each other. We're not saying that. We're not saying this is more important than love each other. We need to love each other, but we do need to share our faith. We need to love the lost. So I think it's both and, just in case anyone's thinking that. Is it worth cultivating like this? Is it worth cultivating our faith? It's a lot of effort. We run the risk of, you know, kind of appearing strange. But is it worth cultivating then this vital relationship with Jesus at the heart of it? Verse 4 of the psalm says, blessed are we if we abide. Blessed are we if we dwell in his house. We're blessed. We are blessed. If we seek to cultivate this relationship, I think there's a blessing in being with Jesus itself. There is no more precious experience, is there, than knowing the presence of God. The psalmist thinks there's not any. He says, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. So the psalmist thinks being in the presence of God is where there is greatest blessing. And again, I'd encourage you, friend, I'd encourage you to ask yourself, do you know what he's talking about? Do you have any resonance with that? That being in the presence of God is the most blessed place I can be. Everything else falls into perspective. A peace comes over you, a calm, a hope. He's got everything. He's got everything sorted. All my anxieties and cares and worries, time in the presence of God can just dissipate. I'm asking you, dear brother, sister, as pastor of your church, do you know what I'm talking about? Or is your Christianity earnest and I'm going to serve him and I'm going to love him and we've got to love the lost and I've got to do good for people? You'll become weary in doing good if that's it. If there's no blessedness in the presence. Hey, listen, we want to help you with that. I'll pray for you this morning that you sense that the Holy Spirit would come, because it comes by the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, that the Holy Spirit would just minister his love, overwhelm you with his grace, that you know you're a loved child. Your spirit would resonate with his spirit, that you're a son and daughter of God. We need this. Okay. So we're blessed if we abide because of the act itself, but we're also blessed because of the outflow. And this is what the psalmist goes on to say. So secondly, a nice heading was going to come up at this point with a nice picture of two children walking side by side. It was really cute. Okay, it was a cheap shot just to win your affection, all right? And I want to say this then. Secondly, we are called to be pilgrims sharing blessing. We are called to spread this blessing. You see, what he goes on to say, and we can get this up, verses 5 onwards, Anthony, thanks, mate. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, and insinuation is, if we rest in his presence, we'll also have strength, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. Next verse, Anthony, thanks. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. That word pools there is blessing. So as these people who are on pilgrimage go through this valley of, the word is Baca, weeping, as these pilgrims, these blessed ones who've been in the presence of God, as they go out into places of weeping, and I don't know about you, but I sense there's a lot of weeping out there in society. I think there's a lot of anxiety and upset and fear. As these blessed ones go through those valleys, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with blessings. These pilgrims take blessing with them into these valleys of brokenness and weeping. So we're to come from this place of encounter, revelation of Jesus, and this is the priority here. We're to remember that we are on pilgrimage here on earth. There's an eternal destiny. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? No. This is not your home. It's why we experience pain and suffering and loss. We were not meant to grieve. We weren't made for it. It's why it's so flipping painful. We weren't meant to grieve because we're not there yet. One day, he's going to wipe away every tear. There'll be no more pain or hurt. Do I hear and a hallelujah in the house of God this morning for that? Come on. That's good news, isn't it? That's good news. Whew. Let's just worship, finish, call it a day. There's a bit more. There's some good stuff coming still, so we won't finish just yet. We're not there yet. We're just passing through. And we are to remember this, because here's the point, folks. If this place, if this earth becomes too much like your home, you've lost that eternal perspective that we're on pilgrimage. Now, we're to love people here. We're to be kind of comfortable. You know, God wants us to enjoy loving homes and family life and good things. He wants us to enjoy those things. But it's not ultimately our home. We are just passing through. And as Karen shared last week, we're called to journey with others. We're called to be pilgrims with others. Pilgrims, usually throughout history, have traveled with others. Sometimes pilgrims, people go on pilgrimage by themselves. That's tough. Usually, and certainly the Psalms of Ascents and the pilgrimage Psalms in Scripture, it's a congregation, it's a community of people. But we're called to journey pilgrimage with others. And here's the point, it's all about people. Life at heart is about people. It's not about the stuff, it's not about the career, it's not about building a successful church. It's not even about, in one sense, our family and our family. It's about nurturing and growing and loving and caring for people. And we're to orientate around this. We're to see this. And you may say, well, I work with people all the time. I'm with people all the time. What are you talking about? Yeah, but how many of us know this? I think this is a good line. All right? That being present with people is different to being present to them. How many of us know that being present with people is very, very different being present to them? I am on a journey, as I've said to you before, of learning emotional intelligence. If you don't know what that is, come and ask me, because I can share it, okay? But here's the point. One of the things I'm learning is this, that actually being present to people and listening to them is so vital. Being present to them. Jesus was superb at this, wasn't he? He'd be like, you know, there were times Jesus resolved to go somewhere. He was set. Now, that's like us. It's not a negative thing. Task. Our problem with task is we don't have time for people often. Jesus, the number of times he's going somewhere, he gets interrupted and he goes, tell me about it. Talk to me. He makes time for people. He built margin in for people. So this is about being present to people. And here's the thing. It's about listening to them. It's about listening to one another here. A lot of us, we'd feel a whole lot better if we felt people in this room listen to us. If we listen to one another, we'd do a whole lot better. If we just listen to one another. And not be so quick to give our opinion. You see, I think listening is a rare commodity in our society. I think listening is a rare commodity. We were at a family funeral on Thursday. And I chatted with, it was Ali's uncle, and I chatted with the uncle's son-in-law. And we were both speaking about our father-in-laws, so the person who died was his father-in-law. And we said both of us had father-in-laws who, if nothing else, were willing to listen to us. And it brings you alive. When someone's willing to listen to you, it brings you alive. Because they draw out stuff out of you that you might not have even known was in there. So we need to listen to people. And of course, one at the L is about listening. We need to listen. So God's got us on a journey with people who don't yet know him. And I want to say this to us. He's already got us on that journey with people, if only we'd see it. I think we miss it. I think we miss it. I've said for a long time now, I don't know many people who aren't Christians. Because I work with Christians all the time. And then I realized, it might even have been this morning, but it could have been yesterday. I think it was this morning. Just looking through my prayer list, and I'm praying for a wider family, and I'm thinking, well, there's my nephew and niece there, and there's the other nephews and niece, and there's other family members don't know Jesus. How many people who don't know Jesus do I want to relate to and listen to? And I think in this, and I think this might be useful for us, some of us will probably be fearful, this reaching out, I haven't got time for the people I have got, let alone more people. How am I going to do that? I just haven't got time. Well, I think here's the thing. It may not be about doing more things and new things. It may be about seeing the relationships we're already in differently. Just understanding these people aren't coincidences in our lives. God's got us journeying with them. Let's be in faith then when we pray for them. I did have a sense this morning this business of family. Some of, and I think this might be a word for us, for some of us, your family members are closer to faith than you think. Your family members are closer to faith than you think. And we pray regularly, the prayer meetings in the morning, we pray regularly for the prodigals, which is great. It may be, though, that we need to see those relationships differently and be intentional. I don't mean, you know, collar family members or friends or neighbours for that matter, but just be hopeful that God's at work in their life. The Spirit is at work. He promises that. He is at work in them. Let's us be in faith that God might use us to reach and relate to them. How many of us in this room, I am sure, have a deep, deep longing for family members to come to faith? I'm sure it's most of us, if not all of us. Let's be hopeful God wants to do that and wants to bring those people alive to him. We recently were on holiday on the Norfolk Broads. We bought a boat. Ali wouldn't let me. We didn't buy a boat. We rented a boat. Sorry. And I did want a captain's hat and everything, but Ali wouldn't let me have one. But the thing with the Norfolk Broads and the boats on there is this. You can only go 4 miles an hour. You can only go 4 miles an hour. So all of a sudden, it cannot be about the destination because you're 2-3 hours away. It's about the journey. And you've got to learn to enjoy the journey. And I think in this business of God having us in relationships, it's not about the destination. It's not about people becoming Christians. And it's about enjoying, and obviously that's important, very important. But it's about enjoying the journey with them and seeing them into relationship with Jesus and then the journey beyond. So I think there's an encouragement to us in this. Let's enjoy the journey with people. Because people are fascinating, aren't they? Surprising. I mean, at times, yeah. So let's enjoy the journey.